Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I think we've talked about her on the show before, Rochelle Kelly. She sent me a message.
We got to recap. She's the mom who made headlines in 2020. I think it was like April or May of 2020, where she tried to go to a playground in the Concord, New Hampshire area, and was threatened by police. Her and her children, and I think a couple other families were out there on that day. It was one of those situations where they had set up caution tape surrounding the playground, and ostensibly they were quote unquote.
There's nothing
closed.
Wrong with the playground.
No, it wasn't dangerous or any more.
Sun hitting it all day. I'm sure there's nothing to catch.
The cops were called. Someone called the police on them, because obviously they're, you know, it's just a park. The cops wouldn't have any other reason to be there. So somebody called the cops on them, some busybody, and they confronted them. There's video of this. If you want, you can search for Rochelle Kelly on freekeen.com, and I'm sure the video will come up, or search playground, and that'll come up. Ultimately, she was found not guilty in that case. They ended up arresting her 5 or 6 months later. Yeah. So they didn't arrest anyone the day of. The parents left the park when the cops came and threatened them. Seemed like everything was going to be fine. And then later they came after them with like criminal trespass. I think it was criminal trespass or disorderly conduct.
Whatever. It's just charges. Ridiculous. It's just, you know, I call it cop butt hurt charge.
Yeah,
you know?
it's the catch-all charge where they always hit activists and people they don't like with these things.
Yeah.
And she didn't, to her credit, she did not take the plea.
Right.
She went to trial and amazingly was found not guilty. So that's who Rochelle Kelly is. She's a mom who actually stands up for her rights. They thought this guy, the brother-in-law of Rochelle, what was his name again?
His name is Stephen Sheets.
Stephen Sheets.
I think that's his name. Yeah,
they thought that he was allegedly involved in a shooting. Were they coming to arrest him? When did this conflict that allegedly he ran from James Sheets?
Yes, sir.
When was the conflict that he allegedly ran from the cops? So from, and what were they doing?
It started in Struthers. So the Struthers Police Department is the ones that murdered him.
Okay.
And the Youngstown police are like, we have nothing to do with this. Like that's kind of how they acted. Mm-hmm. And when I was watching the news reports when this first broke and Rochelle told me about it. And I was watching, I was like, this is just a total cover-up right away. The way that they're talking about it, how they're talking around the issue, then they released the audio call, the scanner calls to the dispatch.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't add up. And then they released the body cam footage. And that was because the Chili from Delete Laws, you know, pressed them. And they first released it with all these redacted spots, like 2 minutes lost, 2 minute loss, like in the body cams.
That's suspicious.
And, yeah. And he demanded the uncut versions, and then he got it.
Huh.
And it revealed a lot.
There is I'm going to call this call the rental cars and the demise of Enterprise. I believe I may have called you 4 or 5 years ago. Tell you how much I loved that company. I got rid of my car in 2014, and they were what enabled me to continue to rent the report after that for years. Because their rental cars were so cheap, I had no idea how they were making money. It was just fantastic. And the people were so nice, and they still are nice. They're trying to be nice. But I don't know if it's Enterprise's fault or not, but the company is just. Doing business with them is just breaking down. It's almost impossible to rent a car. It feels like now.
Wow.
Maybe that's an exaggeration, but it feels impossible sometimes. When I tried to rent a car came back to New Hampshire from Colorado Springs, and I was going to fly into Boston Logan and rent a car, you know, rent from Enterprise at Boston, drop off at Keene, just the most normal thing. I mean, that's what Enterprise is there at the airport for, right?
Right.
No, you're not allowed to do that.
What?
You can't drop it off somewhere else. You have to bring it back to Logan.
What? Since when?
You can't drop it off. You can't drop it off at one of our branches. This was when I came back in April.
These policy changes, price increases, is this just inflation, do you think? That, you know, it's not $13 a day anymore, it's multiple times that? I mean, is that what the factor is here? What do you think?
Partly they have a car shortage because I guess they sold off some of their cars when some of the prices were so high.
Mm.
Uh, And then the next thing that happened, though, is I tried to rent again today. I was just going to do a generic rental. Okay, I'll pick it up in Keene. I'll drop it off in Keene. I'll do what you say. I said, can I rent one on, how about, you know, I know, I don't really care, just any day over the next week or so. How about the 25th? Well, let me look at that. Actually, no, that won't work. Oh, okay, that's fine. I'll just, you know, take the 23rd will work. Oh, let me check that. Oh, no, that won't work. Okay. Okay, any day that week will be okay. Oh, no, actually, people aren't allowed to rent the entire week.
Wow.
From Keene. And then, in Peterborough, we closed that down. That shop isn't open anymore, our office there. And I just said, okay, let's make this simple. Can you give me a date between now and the heat death of the universe in which I can rent a vehicle from you in Keene? The only place I can reach, right? Actually, no, I'm sorry, sir, we can't do that.
What? So they just have no available inventory at all?
They have no available dates between now and the heat death of the universe.
That's strange.
The police, and I haven't seen the footage of like the alleged chase or any of that. You said that hasn't even come out yet.
I haven't seen that yet. If it's out there, I haven't seen it. But
the footage that I'm looking at here, they show there's a scene where this guy is apparently shot 14 times by one cop, and then later shot again another 14 times. The autopsy apparently shows 28 gunshots to this man. Four of them landed in his face.
Yep.
No cop was shot during this encounter, but
no bullets flew in their direction. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, yet they claim that there was that James had a gun in the car.
If they could have using a steering wheel, because that's the only thing he had his hands on. Okay, when I watched the video, that was it.
And they show up. Well, after the shooting, at some point, one of the officers goes, and you say apparently I haven't seen this part of the clip yet, but you say that at one point, one of the cops asks for a bottle of water.
Yeah, like he was all, you know, pretending to be all panicky. I'm sorry. The guy is a psychopath, and he had murdered someone recently, too.
Really?
Yes, and he brags about it. Hmm. And he's bragging about this one, too. But I think, you know, they try to put on an act, and they have code words, predetermined code words. So I think Struthers is a corrupt department at this point. And Youngstown is really standoffish, like, you know, being a part of this at all. But the cop is like, oh yeah, I'm out of breath. I need my water bottle. I think Delete Laws is filing the federal lawsuit. He's maybe already did it today.
Who? On what?
On to sue the Struthers department, police department for the murder. So they're gonna go after him for criminal. Like, once again, a criminal investigation against this. I think, I don't believe in the state, and I want, you know, they're going to investigate themselves and find no wrongdoing. Like, you know,
typical,
but maybe we need an outside agency there, you know?
Can somebody else, I mean, you're not a lawyer or anything like that, but can someone else who is not connected with the situation bring a suit? Won't that get tossed?
Well, he does it for them. He's helping.
Oh, so he's helping the family.
Yeah. He's been spending a lot of time in Ohio, the Delete Laws, and you know, helping other people file lawsuits. There's a lot of corrupt stuff going on in Ohio.
Sure. Well, that's everywhere. There's corruption everywhere.
Yeah.
Everybody always thinks their state's the most corrupt. It's like, it's everywhere.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Everyone says that. Like, all these auditors that I watch online and stuff, they all say, oh, my state's the worst.
The cops here are the worst.
But then you look at Ohio. Ooh, so there's something wrong with Ohio. And I guess there's like a lot of drug busts that happen in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the cities are right on the borders of other states. So a lot of drug dealing across state lines now, especially if you go into Ohio, the laws are way more strict. And, you know, the police are just really border protecting. And they'll pull you over for the littlest things.
North Korea is now officially acknowledging that they have COVID. Although they're calling it, quote unquote, fever.
Yeah.
In North Korea, which, you know, may actually be a more accurate name for it. I don't know. But it's interesting that they had not acknowledged any cases of COVID until just recently, within like the last week or so.
But that makes sense, though, because they're isolationists where no one goes in and out. And
people come in and out of North Korea.
I wonder how tightly
that
screened that is. And you know what I mean?
I think it's not that they haven't had COVID. It's just that they haven't admitted to it. Because you always have to remember,
well, of course,
in North Korea, every news, quote unquote, that you see coming from North Korea is coming from the state. Yeah. So the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, they run all the media there. There's no independent journalism going on in North Korea. If you're a journalist in North Korea, you're there on their, you know, their discretion. They're only letting you see the things they want you to see.
Well, like, we all know that Kim Jong-il is the best golfer in the world, and you got 18 holes in one on one course. It's pretty impressive.
They say a lot of things about the Kims there. So this is just an interesting story because it's like, why now? Why after 2 years of COVID everywhere across the world, all the crackdowns, all the restrictions, why is North Korea now coming out and admitting that they have COVID? The Chinese people have been conditioned for generations to be obedient. And that's why, of course, they were willingly locking themselves up in the first place. The metal barriers didn't come up until 30 or 40 days into the lockdown. Mm. So if people hadn't been so obedient to begin with, it would have been a lot harder on the government. But they all did what they were told. While officials have confirmed that one patient carried the COVID-19 Omicron variant before succumbing to the quote-unquote fever, they've stopped short of attributing any other cases or deaths to the virus behind the global pandemic. Before that initial patient, the government claimed to have kept COVID-19 out of North Korea entirely with complete border closures. The first verified case of fever triggered a, quote, maximum emergency quarantine system, unquote, as defined by the state, and strict lockdowns nationwide earlier this week, with the government vowing to step up containment measures, quote, across institutions, all institutions, and all sectors of the country, including party, administrative, and economic institutions at all levels. So what this is leading to is probably not going to be very good for the North Korean people.
No. They're already in a bad situation.
Yeah.
But, you know, why would they have to pull this? I mean, I think the whole thing is baloney. The whole plandemic.
Sure.
But, you know, for them to just, whatever they're trying to plan, whether they're going to do a cleansing, because I can see North Korea doing a cleansing.
I could totally see that.
I heard that nobody and the other, some of the other Crypto Six people had taken the plea bargains, and I was pretty upset about that. I was sitting there, and then I was just thinking about it, and it dawned on me how ridiculous plea bargains and how insidious they are. Yeah. That, well, we're not going to prosecute you for these crimes if we can get you on just something, anything.
Right.
But if we can't, then we're going to throw the book at you, and suddenly it's worth all these tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep you in a cage on things that weren't important before. So it's like, are you protecting the public or aren't you? Because these laws you're enforcing weren't important if you could just, you know, get them on something, but now they're important. That logic doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me. And then you're just going to get innocent people pleading guilty to something they didn't do anyway.
Happens all the time.
It's not protecting the public at all. Anyway, this whole thing is a sham. I feel like we should have Black Lives Matter in the streets over this. I mean, like, everyone should be protesting how horrific this is. This is a travesty of justice. This isn't justice.
You know, like when I'm in court and they try to do a plea bargain with me, oh, you just do community service, Joe. I literally said on the mic in court, I don't negotiate with terrorists. And it's exactly that. Like, they're terrorizing me. Yep. If they're going to make me do something where I'm not guilty, as in, like, I am, you know, I know that I'm in the right. I haven't hurt anybody.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I don't know if you've ever done this, Olivia. Have you ever been to a district court arraignment before?
I'm not sure about that. One time in high school, they took us on a field trip to an actual court. Actually, that's a really sad story. I was in the AP class, government class. And when we went to court, this is a true story, one of the girls in my graduating class, her mother was actually, they didn't know, but she was actually on trial that day. So we, like, it was very embarrassing because that girl's mother was on trial and our class field trip was watching her in front of the judge, like, pleading. It was the most heartbreaking thing I've ever seen. And the teacher was like, don't say anything to her when we get back. And we were like, we wouldn't do that anyways. But yeah, it was horrific. That was one, you always talk about public school indoctrinating us, but I think that had the opposite effect. Like, wow, this is horrible. These are real people with real repercussions.
So it sounds like this was a while ago. When you say she was pleading, do you mean she pleaded guilty?
I think she might have pleaded. I honestly don't remember. I just remember, I think she was pleading with the judge to like have mercy on her. I think it was like a victim. I think it might have been like a drug charge or something like that.
Sounds like a no-low.
It was like nothing.
Yeah. So what you can do is, and it's interesting they actually took you to court, because that's normally, the government doesn't want you to see this stuff, right? Like they don't publicize it. They don't put live streams online. And I understand why people take the deal. And that's what we're saying to Olivia. Go and watch an arraignment. Any old arraignment, any old district court, anywhere in America, it's going to be the same story, where there's 100 people in the room. I mean, maybe smaller districts, maybe not as many, but you know, dozens to, you know, 100 of people just sitting in there. All of them, almost all of them, are there for victimless crimes with marijuana or alcohol or whatever, where no one has
filming
been
cops.
Harmed. Yeah. And that's the purpose of the arraignment, is to basically shake a plea deal out of somebody. It's the first time they've talked to a prosecutor. The prosecutors go around and they talk to everybody that's there prior to, at least that's how it happens here in New Hampshire. They talk to everybody that's in the room prior to the judge coming in the room, and they try to secure a deal.
Yeah.
And then the judge comes in, and then they just roll through the entire crowd of people, and it's 99%, over 99% of them will take whatever they're offered, the first offer.
The reality is like if we were just convince everyone one day, just one day, in the court, to not take the deal, and they all just wanted to fight it, they couldn't schedule all of them.
No.
One day.
You wouldn't even need everyone, Joe. I mean, if you could get 10 or 20%,
right,
you'd choke the system.
Yeah.
We got it good here in New Hampshire by comparison to other states. In other states, like in Florida, if you want to take something to trial, they charge you a court fee for that.
Yes.
So, like here, if you go to trial, they don't hit you with an extra fee for going to trial.
Do you know how I fought that? I never paid the court fees in Rhode Island. And the reason why, and they're like, you know what? We're going to find you not guilty, but you know, we have a court fee, whatever, this much. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I don't want to pay a court fee. He's like, why not? I was like, I didn't ask to be here. Like, you know?
You didn't want to use our services? What?
No, I want these services gone.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of these things because I'm winning. I'm 15-0 in Rhode Island.
15-0?
15-0.
Damn.
I mean, if you want to count community service, which then I did, like, you know, not the average, not the norm sort of community service.
Mm-hmm.
I did drawings once.
Okay.
For the Parks and Recreation Department to pay off like $900 worth of tickets.
Wow.
And I was like, I'll do some drawings.
Now, how do you call that a win? I mean, if you're
because
doing community
it's
service.
Like, yeah, but it was kind of fun.
But you got found guilty.
Well, technically, yeah. Yeah.
That's
but
not a win.
It's a win because they didn't get my money. And I only had to provide a service that I'm really skilled at. And I drew some wild plants. And you know what? I'm educating people in the future because they frame these things and they're on the wall, the park and recreation.
In our state, we could buy hot prepared foods at the supermarkets with our EBT cards now.
Until, was that a thing you couldn't do before as a welfare recipient, was buy prepared foods?
Well, the thing is, it has to be cold, because they felt that hot food was like a luxury item.
Mm-hmm.
But that EBT, you cannot use that at the restaurant. But I still could like buy sushis. That was tuna and sushis. You could buy it because it was cold. But they had these enchiladas and that were hot, like hot food. But but you were not allowed to buy that.
Wait, you're saying sushi is not prepared food? Is that because it's cold?
No, you can't. No, can buy it with an EBT. I was just amazed.
Oh.
So they allow. It was like a $15 sushi. You could buy that with EBT as long as it's cold. And so there's the T-bone, 24-ounce T-bone. As long as it's cold, you can buy it. But they always limited the hot food. And the reason what they're doing, the only reason they're doing this because all the people that lost their homes were burnt from the biggest fire that we had. So now they have to, you know, now they're homeless. Now they have to be on EBT. They lost their homes.
It's interesting hearing the world of the welfare recipient, right? Like, this is her total existence. This is what Sarah does. She calculates exactly what she's going to receive. She knows the ins and outs. She knows how to fill out all the forms.
Yes, yeah.
That, to her, is work. That's her job.
Yeah, yeah.
Is going and filling out forms so she can continue to feed off of the productive class.
Like standing in line. That's
sure.
That's fun.
She believes that's a job, yeah.
Yeah.
And she also believes that calling this show on a nightly basis is a job. That's what she does.
Well, every time I hear her call in, I kind of want a menthol cigarette after she calls.
Oh, just because she hates cigarettes
yes,
so much?
Yes.
Can you even get those? Oh, they're going to get rid of them next year, right?
It federally?
You didn't hear about that?
Oh, I did hear. But I didn't know it was actually going to go through.
I think it is.
I'm stocking up.
Yeah, I don't know what the cutoff. I don't remember what the cutoff date is, but I think it might be sometime in 2023. They're going to outlaw menthol cigarette sales.
I'm going to do some research. I'm going to look up what the natives are dealing with when it comes to that, too.
Oh, you mean the Indian tribes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't. I would be surprised if it affects them. So you may still be able to go on a reservation and get some menthols that way. So,
aha, I can't stop it.
There's probably going to be some ways around it. Of course, you know the black market is going to be carrying menthols. Now, of course, the question is, will they be the quality that you would get through the normal distribution chains? And the answer is probably no. So-called experts, according to the Washington Post, are saying the U.S. may be barreling toward recession within the next year. Did you hear the story about the gas pumps that have been upgraded to have an additional digit?
I mean, like, to the thousands or tens of thousands?
To the tens, meaning that a lot of gas pumps, apparently, I don't know how many are like
scary.
This, but some gas pumps only went up to $9.99, right? 0.9, right? So three digits past the decimal point, and then only one digit on the dollar side of the decimal point. So now they're adding a second digit. So now gas pumps can go to above $10. That says something.
Oh, I
to
see
you,
what
right?
you're saying on the gallon
on the
price.
Dollar side.
Oh, I thought you meant like when people are ringing it up. You know,
no,
like,
the pump.
Yeah,
when
I know
you're pumping. Oh, I see what you're saying.
So the price per gallon is that's adding a digit. But is that correct, or is it, you know, because truckers, they'll fill up over $1,000.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
But what is it going to be, like $10,000?
Someone's showing the price. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know how many pumps are doing this, but it's in the news. That's happening. So some gas company figured it was worth it to do it now.
Yeah.
To go out, and even though, you know, it's $5 a gallon in some places or whatever, $4.50. California, of course, is up to $6 or $7, depending on where you're at. Makes sense, right? Like, they figure there's a good chance they're going to need that extra digit.
I think they're mistaken.
Here's George Bush. He's speaking at apparently his own institute. He's at a podium that says George W. Bush Institute. It's got an image of the flag. Looks like the flag is laid out as like a book almost. It looks like the pages
My Little Goat.
Of a book. So I don't know if he's like trying to help kids read or something like that. I have no idea what the George W. Bush Institute is, but it doesn't matter because what he says.
The result is,
an
absence of checks and balances in Russia and the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine. Iraq, anyway.
And the sick crowd laughs about it.
Yeah. Yeah, they know.
75.
What is a 75?
I believe he's referencing his age.
Here's
because he was in his 50s when he was the president,
right.
So he would be probably around 75 right
now.
So he's blowing it off like, oh, hey, I'm a 75. But we all heard what you said there, George.
Yeah. No, it seemed Freudian at first, and then he goes back and says Iraq again after he says Ukraine. So it's like, what?
Oh,
why would
clear.
You say Iraq again, bruh? Like,
he realized what he said. Zandy from Moody's said rising gas and commodity prices from pandemic-related supply chain snarls and the conflict in Ukraine have added to the specter of an economic downturn. He says that the odds of a U.S. recession in the next 24 months he puts it about 50%. Quote, we're traveling very close to the edge. The housing market is the next thing that's going to roll over.
Yeah.
And the question is just how hard. Mm. New home construction fell in April, led by a slowdown in single-family homes. Building permits, which offer a glimpse into future construction, also declined, according to data released by the Census Bureau and the Housing and Urban Development Department. Quote, home builder sentiment fell to the lowest level in 2 years in May, said an economist, saying further that builders are seeing less foot traffic and expect sales to be softer as we enter the busy home buying season. The softening is already rippling through the economy. Major mortgage lenders across the country, including Wells Fargo and Better.com, have laid off thousands in recent weeks as a result of dwindling demand for home loans and refinancing. That's a bad sign. They're there's a bloodletting going on in the mortgage business.
Right.
People are losing their jobs. Mortgage lender in Alexandria, Virginia, Kevin Rector, said there's a discernible skittishness among potential home buyers. Refinances began tumbling late last year around the time the Fed began signaling upcoming rate increases. Because, again, whenever the Fed increases the rates, that means that the prices of loans goes up.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.